very holy days, we try to absorb our consciousness in remembering the character, the life, and the teachings of these divine personalities. They are all eternal associates of Lord Sri Krishna, who have descended into this material world to assist the great Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his most wonderful pastimes. Internally, they assist his pastimes by assisting in the transcendental ecstasies of his inner love, that love of Srimati Radharani for Lord Sri Krishna. And externally, they assist the Lord's pastimes by establishing in their own lives' behavior the perfect example for people of this world striving for spiritual perfection to follow. And by extracting the essence of all religion, which is pure love of Krishna, and the highest perfection of that love for Krishna is in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, in spontaneous love. And these great personalities, by their writings and by their preaching, spread the glories of the perfection of the life in this way. I'd like to speak briefly about the life of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. Sri Kavi Karnapur has written about the glorious activities of Sri Raghunath Das in one of his very celebrated books. In it he says that Raghunath Das is a disciple of Yadunandanacharya, who is very gentle and extremely dear to Vasudev Dat, a resident of Kanchanapali. Because of Raghunath Das's transcendental qualities, he is always more dear than life for all of us devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Since he has been favored by the abundant mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is always pleasing, vividly providing a superior example for the renounced order. This very dear follower of Swarup Damodar Goswami is the ocean of renunciation. Who among the residents of Nilachala, Jagannath Puri, does not know him very well? Yasarva lokai kamano birucha, subhagya bhukhachira krishta pachya, yatrayam aropanatulya kalam, tat prema shaki palavan atulya. Because he is very pleasing to all the devotees, Raghunath Das Goswami easily became like the fertile earth of good fortune, in which it was suitable for the seed of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be sown. At the same time that the seed was sown, it grew into a matchless tree of love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and produced fruit. These verses are from the Sri Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka by Kavi Karnapur. The stress is being given on the quality of how Raghunath was so pleasing to all the devotees. and how dear he was to all the devotees. Of all of the exalted qualities of Raghunath Das Goswami, which are uncountable, this is the culmination of all of them is being explained here by Kavi Karnapur. How pleasing he was to all the devotees. Through his humility, through his service attitude, through his utter pridelessness, through his always seeing the good qualities in others, he became extremely dear to all the Vaishnavas. And because of this, his heart was like the fertile soil in which the seed of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy could be planted and immediately grow and ultimately ripen into the fruit of love of God. Raghunath Das was born in a family of great, great aristocracy. His father and uncle, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, were big, big landowners. You see, in those days in Bengal, the whole territory was conquered by, at that time, the Mughal emperors, the Nawab Hussein Shah, and he very, very strictly persecuted all those who he considered followed the Vedic traditions. But Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, they were so expert, they were so fabulously wealthy, influential, and powerful, that they told the Nawab Hussein Shah, "You let us have a territory, and we will tax, and we will give you rent. Just leave us alone. Let us go on with our worship." And they were supplying so much money that the Nawab Hussein Shah said yes. And in this way, they were actually protecting the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada explains, the money that they were earning annually was equal to the most wealthy multi-millionaires of today. And between the two brothers, there was only one son or heir to all of their fortune, and that was Raghunath Das. And he was so endowed with good qualities. They loved him so dearly, more than their very life. He was so learned, he was so gentle, he was so humble, he was so expert at anything he applied his mind to achieve. So like all parents, they felt that everything was secure for generations to come because they had a son like Raghunath. But Raghunath, when he was a small child, he began to associate whenever possible with the great devotee of the Lord, Srila Thakur Haridas, the Namacharya, who would live in forests or live in caves, and he cared nothing about anything of this world. He would just find unlimited pleasure in chanting Krishna's holy names. And Raghunath saw that this man has real wealth. He's living in caves with serpents, and like that, he begs. But he's giving everyone the greatest charity. He's giving people love of God by the chanting of the holy names. And due to this satsang, Raghunath, who is an eternal associate of the Lord, this propensity awakened in his heart, and he simply had no concern at all for anything of this material world. He only wanted to hear the glories of the Lord, chant the holy names of the Lord, and associate with the devotees of the Lord. Yadunandana Acharya, who was an initiated disciple of Sri Advaita Acharya and a Shiksha disciple of Vasudev Dat, would often tell Raghunath about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna himself, with all opulences, who appeared in this world as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath was always so much anxious, eager to see the Lord. After Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas, and came to Shantipur, the house of Advaita Acharya, Raghunath came there to meet him. Raghunath wanted so much. There were two meetings of Raghunath at that place. And he wanted so much to just leave all his material entanglements and live with the Lord constantly, being his personal servant. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him that you should not do things artificial or imitation. You should not be like a monkey, renunciate. Monkeys appear very renounced. They wear no clothes. They live in trees. But they're always looking for some form of sense gratification, especially with other monkeys. So he said, you should not be like this. You should live at home, and you should perform all your worldly responsibilities very excellently. But in your heart, you should not be attached to any of it. You should simply be always remembering Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna. Like a wife that is attached to someone other than her husband, she performs her duty to her husband better than ever before, so her husband will not detect. So with these instructions, Raghunath went home, and he appeared to be the most excellent materialist. He performed all of his duties so conscientiously. And there is a story of how his father and uncle, they were getting revenue of 2 million. It wasn't rupees at that time, it was some other currency, but he was getting 2 million a month. And they were supposed to give to the king 1,500,000, but they were only giving 1,200,000. So there was an envious co-worker, and he reported to the king. And they went to imprison the two brothers, but they fled. So Raghunath was imprisoned. But he was so sweet and so loving and so gentle. Even this enemy who was persecuting them, he wanted to beat him, but every time he would look at his face, he just couldn't harm him. And Raghunath, he explained in such a wonderful diplomatic way that you and my uncle and brother, you are like brothers, and therefore I am like your son. And brothers sometimes fight, but certainly you will make up and not take it so seriously. And this jailkeeper began to weep and cry and said, yes, it is true, I love you just like my son. Therefore you go, and you tell your brothers that there's no more danger, they can do whatever they want with their money, but it's best if they meet with me and work something out. So this is how expert Raghunath Das was in his ordinary dealings in this world. So time went on in this way, and Raghunath was just waiting for the opportunity when Krishna would give him the indication that he could leave all his material responsibilities for the ultimate responsibility of surrendering to Krishna. So he began to become impatient, and he would leave his home. And every time he would leave his home, his father and uncle would have guards go out and forcibly capture him and bring him back. And soon they had at least 10 guards watching him day and night. But one day, close by at Panihati, Lord Nityananda was visiting. So with the permission of his parents, along with the guards, he went to see Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who was sitting under a tree. That tree is still there in Panihati. Perhaps someday, by the mercy of the Lord, we can go. And the humility of Raghunath is he felt himself so much contaminated by his material affairs that he bowed down to Lord Nityananda from a distance away. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu, upon understanding he was there, he forcibly went and captured Raghunath with his own merciful hands. And he said, "Raghunath, like a thief, you are keeping a distance. Therefore, you must be punished. You feed all my devotees a feast of chipped rice and yogurt." So Raghunath Das organized this wonderful Chiradahi Utsav, where thousands and thousands of Vaishnavas from everywhere were coming on the banks of the Ganges, and he was feeding them all with chipped rice and dahi and clay pots. And this festival was so pleasing to all the devotees. Lord Nityananda was so satisfied to see that in his meditation he called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared. And Lord Nityananda was feeding Lord Chaitanya with his own hands Raghunath's chipped rice. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally feeding Lord Nityananda Prabhu the chipped rice of Raghunath with his own hands. In this way, Nityananda Prabhu was so pleased that he gave his own personal remnants to Raghunath. And before Raghunath left, he fell at the feet of Lord Nityananda and begged him, "Please, give me the blessing that I can be liberated from all material bondage and I can attain the loving service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and shelter of his lotus feet." And Lord Nityananda placed his feet on Raghunath's head and said, "Today, because you have pleased all the devotees so much, and you have pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to such a degree that he personally appeared here to eat your offerings," he said, "you will soon be delivered." He said, "Very soon you will become one of the intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you will be put under the care of Swarup Damodar, his own personal secretary." And then Lord Nityananda asked all the devotees to bestow their blessings on Raghunath Das. And then the Lord placed his lotus feet on the top of Raghunath's head. When he returned home, He didn't stay in the house, but he stayed in the courtyard where the Durga Mandap was present. And one night, his family's guru, Sri Yadunandanacharya, came and he told Raghunath Das that the pujari taking care of my deities has left his service. There is no one better than you who can convince him to resume his service. So Raghunath and Yadunandanacharya began to walk together. And Raghunath was thinking, 24 hours a day I have 10 guards around me, making sure I don't go. And if I try to go, they capture me and take me back. But now, because the guards were resting, and otherwise they had no fear because he was with the family's guru, he was thinking, this is the best chance. So he told this great personality, Yadunandan, that there is no need for you to stay up so late at night. You go home and take rest, and I will convince this Brahmin to resume his deity service. So Yadunandan said, yes, I will do. According to the opinion of some, Raghunath actually did convince the Brahmin to continue the worship of the deities. But anyways, as soon as the opportunity was there, when there was nobody around, he ran into the forest. Hari-o!
Hari-o!
And he decided that everyone knows that I'll be going to Jagannath Puri. And if I go by the main road, they will certainly have guards capture me by morning. So he decided to go in a different direction from Jagannath Puri, through the jungles, where no one would ever find him. That night, he walked. Throughout the day, it is explained he walked 30 miles through the jungle forests. And ultimately, he came to the house of a cowshed milkman, and he took little milk and he took rest. Meanwhile, his parents, when they found in the morning that he was gone, they asked the guards. The guards said, oh, he has gone with Yadunandanacharya, there's no problem. And they ran to the house of Yadunandanacharya, and then they realized that Raghunath is gone. At that time, there was a whole group of Vaishnavas from Bengal, headed by Shivananda Sen, who were on their way to Jagannath Puri for their annual trip. They would go to spend 4 months of Chaturmasya with Lord Chaitanya. So the guards were sent by Govardhan and Hiranya, and they caught up to Shivananda Sen, and he said, I have not seen this Raghunath Das. So Raghunath traveled. It took him 12 days to reach Jagannath Puri. During those 12 days, he only had little bit of food 3 days. But he felt no inconvenience because his mind was completely fixed on seeking the shelter of the lotus feet of his Lord and Master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just that anticipation and expectation for that service nourished his heart, nourished his body, nourished his mind and his senses, and he was satisfied. Finally, when he arrived in Jagannath Puri, he went to Kashi Mishra Bhavan, where the Gambhira, the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was. And Raghunath, he fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu from a distance. Mukunda Das saw him and said, Lord, Raghunath has come. So Mahaprabhu lifted him up with his own hands and embraced him. said, Raghunath, you are so fortunate. Krishna has bestowed his infinite mercy upon you. Because the deep, dark well of material entanglement is so difficult to be liberated from, it is only by the mercy of Krishna. He said, family life, which is centered around material enjoyment, is like a deep, dark ditch where people go to pass stool. And he said, it's only by the mercy of Krishna that one can be liberated from this. And even though your father and uncle are devotees, they are still attached to material enjoyment. And therefore, they are like worms living in the stool of the deep, dark ditch of material enjoyment. And because they are like my own grandfather, I can jokingly speak about them like this. But Krishna has liberated you. And Raghunath said, no, I do not know who this Krishna is. I only know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that it is by your mercy that you have given me the shelter of your loving grace. Lord Chaitanya took the hand of Raghunath and put it in the hand of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, his own personal secretary, and told him, Swarup, I'm putting this Raghunath under your care. Please, care for him nicely. He is most dear to me. And then he told Govinda, his servant, let him go to the sea for bath, bring him to Jagannath temple, and then give him the remnants of my prasad and feed him nicely. He's been 12 days, such a rigorous journey, no eating, hardly any sleeping, through the jungles. In this way, Raghunath, when he was given so much kindness by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who loves his devotees so dearly, that all of the other Vaishnavas became so pleased. Raghunath lived in Jagannath Puri, such a simple lifestyle. In fact, he became the very embodiment of renunciation. His parents sent Brahmins and money to make sure he was well fed, well nourished, with nice house. But Raghunath would accept none of it. Twice a month he would invite Lord Chaitanya to his house for prasad. And other than that, he wouldn't spend any of his parents' money. But after 2 years, he even stopped taking that. He was thinking that by taking food from materialistic people, one's mind is contaminated with material desires. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knows that I am taking services from materialistic people. These Brahmin cooks that were cooking, parents. He said, but just to satisfy me, just to please me, he is coming twice a month to eat it. So he stopped inviting Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya heard why he wasn't being invited, he said to Swarup Damodar, yes, this is true. I have only been going just to encourage him because he was so eager to feed me. But it is true that any devotee who eats food from the hands of materialistic people becomes materially contaminated. But now, what is Raghunath eating? They explained, he has become a beggar. He stands at the Singhadwaram gate and he just waits for people to give him some food, some prasad from Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya was thinking, oh, this is very good. But later he saw that he wasn't even at the Singhadwara gate. Where is he? It was Govinda told Lord Chaitanya that now he won't beg anymore from there. Because when he was sitting there, he was thinking, whoever would come by, what will he give me? Why he won't give me? He gave me something yesterday, why not today? In this way, he was looking at people from the point of view of what he could get from them. And he considered that this was spoiling his bhajan, his chanting of the holy names. So now he just goes to the free booths where there's big lines of people and they just give whatever little food and he subsists on that. So Lord Chaitanya was very happy. Yes, this is very nice. We should never see a person and what we can get from them. This is an exploitative mentality. This is not the Vaishnava mentality. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Raghunath. Soon Raghunath Das Goswami, he was not even going to the free booths because he was considering himself unworthy of such prasad. So what he would do is the shopkeepers who would sell Jagannath's prasad, after some days it would start going spoiled. They would feed it to the cows. And the cows would eat whatever was edible and they would spit out whatever was too spoiled for them. And at night, Raghunath, unseen by anyone, would secretly collect those remnants of the Maha Maha Prasad left behind by cows. And he would wash very carefully and take the inner hard portion of the rice and add a little salt, and he would take that only. And one day Swarup Damodar tasted that. And he told, and Lord Chaitanya heard about it. And Lord Chaitanya came to Raghunath's house just at the time when he was taking his prasad. And Raghunath hid it. And Mahaprabhu said, what prasad do you have for me today? And Raghunath said, I have nothing. And then Lord Chaitanya forcibly grabbed it from him and put a handful in his mouth, a portion. And Swarup Damodar couldn't bear seeing the Lord of his life eating such remnants. He said, stop, my Lord, stop. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I have tasted so many wonderful preparations offered to Jagannath, but I have never tasted anything so sweet and nectarine as what Raghunath Das is eating. Why, Raghunath, are you hiding such nectar from us? What was it that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted? He tasted the spirit of the love and sacrifice of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And we should know that that is what the Lord tastes when we offer him food, the spirit of our love and sacrifice. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was given a stone from Govardhan Hill and a garland of conch shells from one sannyasi that had come from Vrindavan. And for several years he wore that Govardhan Shila and garland of conch shells around his own neck. And it is explained that it was the Shila of Giriraj was always moistened by the tears of Mahaprabhu's love, because he saw Giriraj, Shila, as none different than the body of Krishna. And out of love for Raghunath Das, he gave that most precious of all his possessions. When he gave the Govardhan Shila and the conch shell garland, Raghunath was so jubilant. He was thinking, in this gift, the Lord has given me a place of residence near Govardhan Hill. And by giving me this garland of conch shells, he has given me the shelter of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Raghunath Das was the servant of the servant of the Lord. Swarup Damodar was his personal secretary, and Raghunath was always assisting him. And the standard of his devotion and his service to the devotees was so pleasing that he won the hearts of all. After Lord Chaitanya left the world, and after Swarup Damodar also soon after disappeared, Raghunath was thinking, what is the use of living without the Lord of my life? So he decided to see Vrindavan, which he was yearning to see for his whole life. And then he would jump from Govardhan Hill and end his life. When he went to Vrindavan with his vow, he first went to have the darshan of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And when they heard that he was to end his life, they told him, you cannot do this. You have witnessed and heard the most wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You must live with us and each day narrate these wonderful pastimes and teachings. And Raghunath was thinking that in Rupa and Sanatan I see that Lord Chaitanya is living. He's not gone. He's here. He's living within these two great souls. So with great bliss, he became the servant of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And how pleasing he was. Ultimately, he was given the place of his bhajan at Radha Kund at the foot of Govardhan Hill. And it is explained that he was so strict in his regulative principles, like the lines in stone. Every day he would chant at least 2 lakhs of rounds or 2 lakhs of names of Krishna. Every day with vow, he would bow down thousands of times to the Vaishnavas, to the deity of Krishna. He was the embodiment of strict sadhana. It is explained one day he was sitting, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
And Sanatan Goswami was coming, and he saw just next to Raghunath there was a dangerous tiger that was drinking the water from Radha Kund. And he was very much afraid for Raghunath. And then Sanatan approached him and said, you should build a little house and perform your bhajan there, because you should not bother Krishna. Because ultimately it was Krishna that was standing with his stick protecting Raghunath from the tiger. When you do bhajan, you should be doing it to assist Radha and Krishna's leela, not to have them assist you. So on this order, Raghunath had constructed a Sanatan Goswami actually constructed for him a small bhajan kutir, and he would do his worship there. Raghunath Das Goswami is considered to be the Prayojana Guru for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya has said that there are three principles of the Vedas: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means to establish our relationship with Krishna. And Sanatana Goswami, through his illustrious works, has taught us how to establish our relation with Krishna. Abhideya means how to engage in devotional service, actions according to that relationship. And Srila Rupa Goswami, by his literatures and by his exemplary behavior and worship of the deity of Govinda, he taught the world of Gaudiya Vaishnavas this process. So he is considered the Abhideya Guru. But the ultimate result of all of this is Prayojana, the pure love of God, of the gopis of Braja. And it was Raghunath Das Goswami who taught the world this process. There is a wonderful verse that has been written by Raghunath Das, in which he prays that, in brief, that, O Srimati Radharani, you are the queen of Vrindavan, and your mercy is the all in our lives, and to assist you in your loving service is our only perfection. But you are not giving me your mercy, and I have been waiting such a long time, and tears are flowing from my eyes, and my heart is having difficulty even continuing on. If you do not show me your mercy soon, I'm afraid I will die. Because I'm living in Vrindavan, but without your mercy, O Radharani, Vrindavan appears to be useless to me. It is a useless place. And even Krishna, I have no attraction even for Krishna if I cannot be serving you, assisting you, and receiving your mercy. Therefore, what shall I do? In this way, the highest perfection of life, Prayojana, of approaching Vrindavan and Krishna through being the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani, was established by Raghunath Das Goswami. He established the highest principles of pure love of God. How can we follow in the footsteps of such a great soul? We must understand he is a Nitya Siddha, and if we try to imitate him, we will certainly die. We have no right to just run away from our families and our responsibilities. If we do, artificially, we are simply imitators, and we will fall down. We must do what is pleasing to the Lord. It was Raghunath's special mission to serve the Lord in this way, to exemplify the highest standard of renunciation. One day Raghunath asked Swarup Damodar, can you approach Lord Chaitanya and ask him that I've given up all my responsibilities in the material world, and I don't even know why? What are the duties of a person in renounced life? I am so lowly and fallen. Please instruct me. And Lord Chaitanya replied that Raghunath, Swarup Damodar, he knows better than me. He can tell you everything. But because you asked, I will answer. Gramya katana shunibe, gramya varatana kohibe, balana koibe yar, balana puribe. amani manada hoy krishna nam sadalabe braje radha krishna seva manase koribe. That the duty of person in the renounced order, do not speak nonsense and do not hear any nonsense talk ever. Dress very simple. Eat simple foods. Always chant the holy names of Krishna. Always engage in associating and serving the Vaishnavas. And in your mind, always be meditating on the loving service of Radha Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. And then he gave him one more instruction. Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniyasati. This is the perfection of renunciation. To become more humble than a braid of grass. To become more tolerant. Return. In this way we can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. But in essence, whatever severe austerities Raghunath performed, it was all simply for the pleasure of the devotees and the pleasure of the Lord. It is explained he would only sleep at the most 1.5 hours, 22.5 hours a day. He was immersed in chanting the holy names. The perfection of our life is to simply become dear to the Lord and we become dear to the devotees by pleasing the devotees. And whatever we do, if we're not pleasing the Vaishnavas and becoming dear to them, then it is useless. It's not appealing to Krishna. So we should not think that to excel in our service, we can step on other devotees' heads and run over them, trample them, defeat them, and think that we're going to make spiritual advancement. Because if we're not pleasing the devotees and becoming dear to the devotees, our endeavors are not pleasing to the Lord. And all of our spiritual advancement is simply through pleasing Krishna. There's no other way. That is the goal of everything we do. Sam sadhir hari toshanam. To please Krishna. And what pleases Krishna? When we minimize our own selfish interests, when we minimize our sense gratification, and become detached from all those objects and engage our mind, our body, and our words in the service of Krishna, the service of Guru, and the service of the Vaishnavas. That is all. To the degree we are attached to sense gratification, we are detached from Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, Thani saravani samyamya yukta asita matpara vasehi asyendriyani tasya pragya pratishtat. We must, with discipline, control our minds, control our senses from enjoying undue sense gratification. and simultaneously keep our mind and senses always fixed on Krishna through engaging them in his loving service. This is the perfection. It is also the disappearance day of Krishna Das Kaviraj and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And we don't have so much time, but I will just say a few things. Raghunath Bhatta, his father was a pure devotee, Tapan Mishra. In fact, in Chaitanya's Leela, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught him the Hare Krishna mantra and revealed to him his divine form of the Supreme Lord Krishna before he revealed it to practically anyone else. And Raghunath Bhatta, he became Lord Chaitanya's personal servant. He would massage his feet. He would sometimes cook for him. He would sing slokas from Srimad Bhagavatam for his pleasure. But the Lord told him that you must go home and you must serve your parents because they are great devotees for the rest of their lives. To Raghunath Das, he said, leave them. But to Raghunath Bhatta, he said, go back and serve them with great care and attention. So he went back and he served his parents very faithfully. And meanwhile, he studied Bhagavatam. He was always absorbed in chanting the holy names of Krishna. And when his parents both left this world and went back to Godhead, then he came back to Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And again he served him for about 8 months. And then Lord Chaitanya told him that you should go to Vrindavan and you should live with Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. And there you should always hear and recite Srimad Bhagavatam, serve the devotees and chant the holy names. And you will achieve the highest perfection of love of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya gave him a garland of tulsi leaves and some betel nuts that were offered to the Lord. And Raghunath kept them and preserved them in great happiness. Although Lord Chaitanya was living in Puri, we should know that service to the mission of Guru is the greatest way of pleasing the Guru. He sent him to Vrindavan, where he would never personally meet Lord Chaitanya again for the rest of his life. But he would always be seeing him through his service. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. This was the mood of the six Goswamis in Vrindavan. While living in Vrindavan, it is explained that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he would cook for Rupa and Sanatan, he would do all nice services for them, and he would recite Srimad Bhagavatam in a sweet and beautiful voice in 3 or 4 tunes, each sloka. In this way, he was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and achieve the ultimate perfection of the purest love of Krishna. And it is explained about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami while living in Vrindavan that he was always hearing the glories of Krishna in his devotees. That was his only business. And it said that he would never hear any material sound vibrations. He couldn't tolerate hearing nonsense talk. He didn't want to waste his time hearing about anything of this world of death. He wanted to keep his consciousness always on the beautiful glories of the Lord. And it is explained, he would never listen for even a second the criticism or the faults of any Vaishnava. He would say, I don't care what he's done. The fact that he's serving Krishna is all I want to know. In this way, he set the proper example of how we should strive to live according to these Vaishnav principles. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, on the order of Lord Nityananda, who was pleased upon him for defending one of his devotees, Miniketana Ramdas, he appeared to him in a dream and told him to go to Vrindavan. And Kaviraj Goswami immediately, although he was very old in age, he just left his home, everything, and went 1,000-mile journey practically to Vrindavan Dham. And there he ultimately took shelter of Radha Kund, and he would hear the beautiful narrations of Raghunath Das Goswami's discourses on the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And by the request of the Vaishnavas, when he was in his late 90s, he compiled the most important of all scriptures, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Krishnadas Kaviraj also exhibited such a form of humility and devotion for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. He prayed that I am, so many beautiful prayers, who can count them all? He said, I am in a diseased condition because of all of my sinful desires. And I am suffering from terrible boils due to envy. And therefore I am taking shelter of the Supreme Physician, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to have mercy upon me. And he also prayed that I am lower than the worm in stool. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. If anyone hears my name, he loses all of his pious credits. And if anyone speaks my name, he becomes sinful. In this world, people are always trying to glorify themselves. But this is the way the Vaishnavas talk about themselves. Materialists will never understand. Only one who has been graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead could treasure the sentiments of such great personalities. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, although he wrote the greatest literature, which is the heart and soul of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he took no credit. He explains that I am old and invalid with rheumatism and arthritis and failing memory and everything. How am I writing this literature? I am not. It is that great Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is making my pen to move. He is writing this literature because I have received the mercy of the Vaishnavas. He is so kindly using me as his instrument. This is the sweet mood of such devotees. So how wonderful and fortunate we all are to have such an ancestral dynasty in disciplic succession of such souls. Sometimes we see that people, they have pictures of their grandfather and great-grandfather on their walls in their houses, prominent places, and they say, oh, my grandfather, he started with 5 paisas, and now his business has created so many crores of rupees, like that. We like to talk about some nice things that they've done. Or he has, this is my grandfather, he started a goshala in Gujarat and it's still going on. We think, oh. This is nice. We should honor our parents, no doubt. But our spiritual forefathers, in which the disciplic line in which we are initiated in, through shiksha and through diksha, we are actually given an eternal connection to all of these great acharyas. They are the previous acharyas, who spiritually they are our great and great grandfathers. But the fact is, in the material world, our great grandfathers, we should respect them. It is according to the Vedas. We should liberate them by becoming pure devotees. But the fact is that Lord knows where their souls are dwelling today. But the previous acharyas, like Krishnadas Kaviraj, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Bhakti Vinod, Gaur Kishore, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta Swami, they are eternally living in this spiritual world. And when we pray to them, they hear our prayers and they give us their blessings. And their blessings are the source of all of our spiritual strength in life. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami prayed that my legs are failing me to cross over this material existence and tread the path of bhakti is like crossing over mountain ranges. And I am an invalid. And I cannot do it. It is only by the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas that I am being supported and I can continue on my way. And when we speak about the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas that is our only means of support in spiritual life, we should know it is the Vaishnavas of the present and all of the Vaishnavas of the past by whose blessings and mercy we are receiving. Parampara means that all the grace and love of all the previous acharyas are coming to us through the transparent via medium of our Gurudev. And by simply being submissively anxious to hear and anxious to serve Guru as well as the Vaishnavas, the present Vaishnavas, then we should know by doing that we are serving the instructions of all the previous Vaishnavas. And Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath and all the great acharyas shower their blessings. And whether we can see them or whether we can even understand this principle, it is the truth. It is the great miracle that is upon all of us at every moment. Because these great personalities are eternally liberated souls, are the confidential associates of the Lord. And their grace is our life and soul. So we should know that when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are not just serving one person who we call our spiritual master. We are not even just serving all the assembled Vaishnavas. But we are directly serving all the previous acharyas in every act of devotion that we do under proper guidance. And we are receiving their grace. And that is the difference between simply accepting some some sadhu and accepting entrance into this holy divine path of disciplic succession. So on these auspicious days, we should understand our good fortune, and we should recognize and with great appreciation the lives of these great souls who we are so intimately related to in our devotional service. And especially on disappearance days, it is very auspicious and conducive to contemplate and develop feelings of separation from the Lord and his great devotees. Because the more we develop these sentiments of feelings of separation from the Lord and his devotees, the more we genuinely become detached from all the things of this world. In separation, our attachment grows greater than in meeting. If you are with someone you love, attachment grows. But when you are separated from that person, the affection grows even more intensely. So although these great acharyas, these great Goswamis, are personally present through their divine grace, we should cultivate the feelings that we are so unqualified, that we cannot recognize them. That is the feeling of separation. We should long to again be in the association of the Lord and all of his wonderful associates. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.